You're listening to the Italia Celeste podcast. I'm a doctor of pharmacy and real estate investor, married for 9 years with 3 beautiful and busy children. I created this podcast as I sought out a community of support for multi-passionate and driven women while I was juggling my own work-life chaos. I want to share what I've learned about marriage, motherhood, and money, and I figured we can all grow together. Hello, and welcome to the Italia Celeste podcast. I'm your host, Italia, and today I'm doing a juicy relationship episode with my wonderful co-host, the Nelson Coleman. Stick around. It's going to be so good. It's not a long episode, but we dive pretty deeply, pretty quickly into some serious issues. The audio is a little bit funny in the beginning. We had some technical difficulties, but I promise you, it'll be so worth it. And I can't wait to hear what you think and your feedback. So let me know. Here we go. Hello, and welcome to the Italia Celeste podcast. I'm your host, Italia, here with the excellent
Mr. Nelson Coleman.
Been getting a lot of questions about specific aspects of relationships, not just relationships in general. So it kind of strikes up a discussion between the two of us. And we were like, you know what? We need to have
we need to have these
discussions on tape. So that's what we're doing.
You're not talking about things like sexual attraction.
Loss of sexual attraction.
I mean, I'll just jump it off. It set me back when I heard a few different people saying, wow, you're happily married? You guys have sex regularly? I'm like, yeah, like, what's going on? And then, you know, you just kind of go down the road there. But I mean, that's a big piece of it. And I think a lot of people, I'll be honest. Y'all want to be transparent?
Of course. All right. Yeah, we have to be transparent. I'm worried about what you're about to say.
I'll just say it. If it's not good, she could take it out. Okay. So my parents got divorced when I was young. So as a 35-year-old adult, I asked my dad, I said, Dad, I'm just curious, like, were you and my mom were about to get divorced or leading up to it? Were y'all even having sex? And I asked her the same thing. They both said no. Leading up to it, they were, like, getting a little annoyed with each other, aggravated.
Yeah.
And they weren't even being intimate anymore. So I was like, dang. That's how they kind of knew
that it was about to be through. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that is really interesting because when we were, when we ran into a family member of yours, we kind of just told them that we had started doing a podcast and just talking about different issues. And when we just threw out relationships was one of the topics, that's the first thing that he said. He was like, well, this is intriguing. What kind of relationships? Because this is the number one thing I hear. And we were like, all right, what's that?
Yeah.
That's exactly what he said. He said, the number one thing I hear from women is that they lose the attraction to the man. And the number one thing that I hear from the men is that they're not having sex in the relationship, like, at all.
So that led me to think, okay, there was a gap and a disconnect.
Right, because you had already heard that from 3 friends.
These are young guys. Right. And my cousin, we saw at the airport, is like 50 plus.
Yeah. And so you had heard from different people. Then you asked your parents. And then hearing it from him, it kind of was all in the same, like, 3-4 days. So that was really weird. So we figured that that's got to be a big topic. And we didn't know that, you know, in our relationship, we didn't know that that was like that. So we really started thinking about what issues could people have and asking different questions, talking to different people. We really kind of have come up with some solutions to these issues. And hopefully we can help someone out there who may need this.
And another thing is the person at the airport was saying that, you know, it doesn't ever start out like that.
Right.
And most people that I ask, like, so how do you get to that point? It never starts out like that. But somewhere along the way, I guess what you did to get the person, you kind of stopped doing.
You get too comfortable.
You get comfortable.
Do you remember that song, Comfortable, Lil Wayne and Babyface? Was it Babyface? Yeah, it was Babyface.
Don't you get too comfortable.
Comfortable.
Yeah. All right. All right. So, I mean, that's a mantra, right?
But that really is it. I think a lot of people, it's not necessarily that they're starting the relationship being fake, but you're kind of on, like, this high. They call it the honeymoon phase.
It's like starting a job.
Yeah, you're extra excited and everything's brand new and you just really want everything to go well. So you're giving your best effort. And then
once you've been together long enough, you just, and that's natural. Like, we've gotten comfortable in certain situations, but it can't be in the non-negotiable situations.
Wow, great point. So you bring up that point, the non-negotiables. That means there would have to be a point of negotiating or having a conversation
Right.
on do's, can't do's, won't do's, will not accepts.
Yeah.
So, wow, I think a lot of people don't even have that conversation.
True. And again, because of the whole being on that cloud nine, you don't think about the logistics of it. You don't think about it as one day this is going to become work. One day there might be issues. So you don't talk about that
And they
stuff.
never factor in the kids, probably.
Oh gosh, yeah. Because
When
I
you
wasn't, I def even with us, we talked about some of the things that were
don't know
important.
until you have them.
Right. And we never really talked about what could not change and what was important until we were already married and pregnant and everything. And at that point, it's kind of like, well, here it comes anyway.
And
So.
you only have 24 hours in a day, and some people work one job, two jobs, both parties work in the household. So then you're just scrambling for time. So I think one of the keys to a successful relationship, and I'm gonna say a sexful relationship. I'm just gonna throw that in there. Women probably don't care much, but I know the men do. His needs, her needs. Number one priority for a man is sexual fulfillment. Number one priority for a woman is conversation. No, I'll take that back.
Affection.
Affection.
Right,
Number two is
affection.
conversation.
And somewhere in there is security, and it may vary from person to person, but these were like the top priorities. So, but it was like across the board sex for men. The women, it kind of like was there was a variance.
And I say this, I think in talking to my buddies and just people I talk to on the street and colleagues, the guys personally get offended and feel rejected when that's not there how they expected it. And they may even feel betrayed.
That's true. I mean, yeah, I can see that being a thing, and a man needs to also be able to trust the woman. Like, trust is big on both sides. And I think that a lot of men forget that since we're wired differently, a lot of times for the female, sex is connected to emotions. You know, especially if you're in like a relationship, you're not just out there having fun. You know, once you really get to the point where you want to marry someone, sex is going to be tied to emotions for a woman. And if they're not being fulfilled like emotionally, then they're not really going to want to have sex, which they're not going to be paying attention to the physical like a man would.
And they're turned off in that aspect. And
Right.
it also could lead to them not keeping themselves up as far as appearance or the physical attributes, which will further lead to a little separation
Right. On both
in
parts.
expectation
Yeah.
and reality.
And same with, you know, even with a woman looking at her man. If he's not being fulfilled or if he's too comfortable, he may start to not take his, you know, care of himself.
And I know a lot of guys don't typically read, but when you said something about the affection being tied to the sexual, right, and the two meeting in the middle with the man and the woman, men, if it's probably all laid out for us, like check one, check two, check three on a punch list, we would probably register that, okay, if I want this, I need to make sure I put it in here.
A flow chart. You need a
Oh,
flow
yeah,
chart.
flow chart diagram. Shout out to Dr. Kevin. So, all right, on that aspect of it, I think a lot of guys are missing it because when I talk to guys, it's like they're hearing it for the first time in their lives. I'm like, dude, listen, women want conversation and affect, not always having sex, but I'm talking about rubbing feet and giving them love in the way they want it and the way they receive it. Because you might think, oh, I'm giving them love by working, by picking
Right,
the kids up from
providing and
school,
yeah.
washing a car, walking a dog, but
Which
that's
are important because I've also heard on the other end that some men get comfortable and stop doing that
true
stuff
that.
or they don't notice.
Again, that's back to that conversation of, we're gonna call it the conversation of negotiation. But the point I'm making is like a lot of guys don't even know where they're missing. Because we don't even like we're kind of wired differently.
You are,
We're like,
and
see the ball, get the ball, like in football.
right. And men are really bad with reading between the lines or assuming or reading body language. It's all so horrible. And even communicating directly with words. I feel like a lot of men, whether it's men that I'm friends with, whether it's you, whether it's coworkers, you have to say things multiple times in different ways because you can say something as like so direct and they will still like assume in the wrong way, just not get what you're trying to
because a
say.
Lot of times we're trying to fix things.
Yeah.
But sometimes those things we're trying to fix don't need to be fixed. The woman just wants to vent. And then sometimes it's masked. She might say, oh, I'm not in the mood, but she's really mad about something else.
Right.
A lot of times she may be mad that you didn't give attention to the things she wants you to do. She might just want you to watch her show, her favorite show with her that
with
week.
With her. And be quiet.
And be quiet. Okay? And act like you're interested. She know you don't care, but just act like you're interested.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you might get what you want. Y'all get the win, right? But, see, men, you know, it's always a game. And I think we got to realize that, hey, life is a game. Keep the game going. Mm-hmm. And it's like a cat and mouse game. But it should be a fun game to where you can actually get to the cheese.
Yeah.
And it's not too hard.
So definitely for, you know, our first solution, everybody says this, but it really is communication is key. So we talked about the non-negotiables. When you're getting serious in a relationship, make sure you communicate the non-negotiables, things that you cannot have changed, because that was another thing we had talked about. I was telling your cousin that a lot of men enter the relationship hoping that things won't change. They think, oh, this is the one. Mm-hmm. I hope it stays like this forever. Mm. And the women enter the relationship thinking, oh, it's okay. I'll change that about him. I can change that. Mm. I can change that.
Both are naive.
Yes. Because change is inevitable. So the man is going to have to be able to handle it when something changes. And with women, we can't change everything about a man. Most things we can't change about a man. So, yes, both are being naive. So make sure that you're communicating those non-negotiables.
In that communication of the negotiation, I like to always, again, one of my Nelsonisms, plan for war in peacetime. So you need to already kind of talk out and display out, what's our plan when we start having kids? How are we going to pay for daycare? Who's going to help us?
Your expectations.
Yeah, we're going to still keep working, both parties.
Right.
How are we going to look saving money? Are we going to contribute to your 401k, my 401k?
Are we going to combine our accounts or are we going to have separate accounts?
Yep. How are we going to pay for the bills? How are we going to grow financially as a family? And, you know, in head count, we're going to have one child, two children. Okay, what are we going to do if things get bad? One of us gets sick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are real conversations. One of us can't work, you know. Do we bring somebody in to care for us? Do we, you know, do we sell out and just, you know, put you in a home? You know, somebody end up getting a bad disease like MS or a stroke. So I think a lot of times, again, you need to talk these conversations out hypothetically just so you can kind of even see almost like a sounding board how that other person in the party's thinking.
Yeah.
You don't want to get in a fight and then realize, hey, I'm not comfortable wiping your ass if you
oh, no.
If you're sick. I love you, but now you're in a pickle.
Right. But those are real conversations. So you kind of have to think about it. Like, if you're in a relationship and y'all are talking about marriage or getting more serious, how would you set up your will? You know, like,
ooh,
with your, whether it's kids, like you said, your health issues, like how would you set up your will if y'all were together right now?
So you said maybe have that conversation so much in detail. So you're thinking about the end,
yeah,
at the beginning.
Right.
That's a mature conversation.
It is. It is. Because even with the communication, with laying out your non-negotiables and your expectations, when you get down to the nitty-gritty, when it comes to real things like that, finances, people who would take care of your kids, or how things would be lined up if you passed away and the other one was still there, you know, all those kind of things, those are real life deep situation.
Then the in-laws, the parents, what happens if my parent or your parent falls on
right.
a situation where they can't care for themselves? Do we bring them in the home? Or, you know, that's two or three sets of parents. You had a few divorces or whatnot, so within your family. So
that is true.
Those are real true conversations that that are very mature, but it give you a nice flow chart of how things could go hypothetically
right.
in real life. And it allows you to see that person, you know, in that light, maybe under a little pressure.
Yeah, and like you said, it really does allow you to see how they think and how they respond to certain things, too. Because people, they have different, you know, trigger points, pressure points, things that make them react in certain ways. So all of that is really good. So for first solution, communication. But
yep. in talking through the conversation of negotiations, I think it's important to come to an agreement on how you want things to be and the end goal, and then maybe back your way from right to left into real life application, how we're going to get there, or how we're going to set up things to accommodate the different situations. You can't plan for everything, but if you have things in place like a solid will, a solid hierarchy of who gets what as far as parental rights or caregiver rights, power of attorney, should things happen, I think you're having mature conversations and you're preparing yourself for the worst, but we're not hoping that the worst happens. But should adversity come, you have a plan of action.
All right, well, let me piggyback off your solution of coming to an agreement or end goals, taking it back to a problem. One thing I hear you always bring up to people is, are you equally yoked? And that can be in multiple areas. So if you have, if you have the solution of, okay, we need to come to an agreement, we need to figure out what our end goals are, what our end game is, you also have to look at what are your strengths and weaknesses versus your partner, basically. Are you more willing to sacrifice than they are? Are they kind of stubborn and you're always having to, give
Concede.
in? Yeah, because eventually that is going to get annoying. That's not
Yeah,
going to work
it'll wear out.
forever.
It'll wear out. That's true.
Or your relationship roles. Just certain things that you are expecting. Are you, as a woman, expecting to at some point be able to come home with the kids? Or are you the type of career-driven woman that knows you're always going to want to be out there working or traveling and maybe want to have a husband who's more willing to stay at home? Now, those are big conversations because traditionally we know that in the past, the woman was always at home, the man was always at work. And a lot of times this can cause issues in the home in our culture nowadays because we're finally getting to the point where women are able to take these big CEO positions and be able to travel all the time. And sometimes that doesn't sit well with certain men. So,
Wow, you're right. I would say, again, a lot of that should be uncovered
right.
in the conversations of negotiations. And you're not negotiating really against each other. You're more like collaborating of like, hey, this is what I really want to accomplish in my life. This is my goal as a person. This is my 10-year plan, my 5-year plan, my even 20-year plan. How does that look, or how does that work with you? Can we accommodate that together, you think? Are you going to be willing to sacrifice? Am I going to be willing to sacrifice? Because you might start out with a plan, and then just depending on how things go, you might have to make an adjustment. And that's where the mental toughness come in. That's where the true sacrifice stuff come in. And things could just take a different direction. Like
True
you.
sacrifice. Wait, that to me, everybody always says communication. I always say sacrifice because they're like neck and neck. I mean, you have to be able to know how to communicate all these important factors, but if you're not willing to sacrifice, there's really no way to implement that.
That's great. And I think that's a great point. Willing to sacrifice, willing to make change and allow yourself to be open to be changed, or allow yourself to, be willing and able. Some people are willing
Yes.
but not able. There's some people are
Able
able but
and not
not willing.
willing. Yeah.
You get some people that are both. And those are probably the high percentage that
Yeah.
really,
And if you can only take one or the other, what's more important to you?
I would say the willing.
To me, willing would be two. If
Yeah.
you're willing to sacrifice, if you're willing to work, like y'all can come to some kind of agreement.
Because, I mean, you got to be honest, marriage is work.
It is.
And if both parties are willing, then you will find a
You can figure it
solution.
out,
You can
right?
figure it
You can
out.
figure it
But
out.
someone gets stubborn or
And
stuck
they're
on this or stuck
unwilling,
on that.
there's nothing you can do.
It's an impasse. And then it's just like, okay.
Everybody
Now
just gets
you.
frustrated and wants to walk away. It's like, why fight for it if one person is not willing to? So yeah, sacrifice is big, 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 and the willingness to sacrifice.
Another great solution would be find examples. Okay,
Yes.
so a lot of people, like my parents were divorced when I was like 5 or 6.
And mine when I was two.
Okay, so a lot of people I grew up with, we never saw a good model relationship of a husband and wife in a full family picture. It was always single parent, uncles and aunties raising your old grandmother, your parents out in the streets. So my heart goes out to those in the community I grew up in. But on the other side, we are now grown and we are now responsible for our own situations. We also have kids and things of that nature. So It's up to us to take responsibility for where we're at and find actual models. So there are models out there.
Right. Whether you know them or not, there's people, you know, so much is available through technology now, whether it's like YouTube or podcasts like this or going to church, even finding people in real life that you can connect with, other couples, trying to be around them to see, you know, is this, you know, the type of couple I want to surround myself with? Can I learn something from them, or can I at least, you know, get some positivity to reinforce my own relationship? So definitely finding models like relationship mentors type.
Yeah, because I'm not an advocate of sharing like your personal things with others.
Your relationship. Yeah.
Has to be
like struggles. Yeah.
It's easier to kind of correct and coach and do that. But if you get under some strong leadership or strong models that can give, you know, third party advice that's not biased.
Yeah, neutral advice.
Mm-hmm. Then.
Or just a good example.
I'm an advocate for that because I think that helps you move the needle. And push and have actual goal to visualize and look at and to model.
Right.
Because even as a parent having children, you know, I say one thing, but these kids watch you so closely. They say, well, Dad, you did that.
Your actions matter the most.
So I think people learn a lot by modeling and seeing something done out the right way that they can go ahead and try to copy that platform.
Right. So making sure that you're finding examples, finding relationship mentors, and keeping the stragglers away. Like someone was talking about asking for advice on Facebook and
Instagram. Yeah, taking polls and you don't know say, you know,
what
I know we're in a
do?
Share it's a whole share deal. It's a share culture right now.
Yeah.
Share everything. Oh, I got a new car. Oh, my baby was sick. Oh, I got a promotion.
Yeah.
Oh, I know the cow that got shot down on the corner.
But don't forget, when you're sharing, some people won't forget. Some people will be extra judgmental. It just, there's always going to be an added element of some kind of like frustration or struggle or chaos when you bring
or judgment.
Right, when you bring someone else in. So making sure that if you're sharing anything, it's kind of on a private one-on-one type counseling with your mentor, or just keep it to yourself.
Yeah. Which, like you said, with your mentor, somebody has accountability to you, you have accountability to them, and they're trying to actually help you.
Yeah.
Not, they just want to know what's going on so they can post and make comments and stuff like that.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So, anyway, we just saw this common theme in a lot of our conversations, and we realized that whether it's being in a comfort zone, whether you're losing emotional or physical interest, all of this is leading to a deficit in the relationship. And we just wanted to give some of the major things that help us or that we see other people benefiting from.
All advice we've received. Like yeah. I said, I have a few mentors that are older than me. And one guy told me, I think I mentioned this on another podcast, it's worth saying again, always date your wife.
Yeah.
Every week, no matter what, you guys need to go on a date.
And what's the other one that all of your people who have been divorced have said the same thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I love this one. My dad said it. A lot of people said it. It's not really like, so a lot of people say it's cheaper to keep her, but I've heard a lot from people older than me, younger than me, that's been divorced or through several divorces. It's all the same. Meaning in their first marriage, they dealt with the same issue they dealt with in their second marriage. Two different people. The same thing. So
and you know people that have been married three times and they say a lot of times it's the same thing. Like the degree may vary, you know, but the issues
the details
are still,
may vary, but
yeah.
Vary, but still the same thing. Somebody's not listening to me, somebody doesn't feel
appreciated.
Somebody's being
honest.
Selfish.
Yeah,
yeah.
Selfish.
The money. Somebody wanna spend, somebody wanna say all the same crap. So
it is, yeah.
Whoever you with, if you have someone, just commit to them and stay with them. Because it's not going to get in the grass is not greener.
Right.
And if you've already been through one or two, you're the second one, the third one's not going to get better. So stick with the second one.
Yeah, because in the end, you know, to the point of people saying it's cheaper to keep her, you're still, you know, especially if there's kids involved, you're still investing your time, you're still investing your emotions, and especially with kids, you want to make sure that you're protecting all of these valuable assets. And working through whatever issues there are will help to protect all of that.
True that. So, I mean, we said a lot.
We said a lot really fast. I feel like we could go deeper, but I think it's good to
just
look.
Each subject deserves its own
I know,
podcast series.
There's so much.
Because the men, I know everybody, I've even asked older men, like at 60 or 65, hey, how is sex at 60 or 65? Like, do you want to do it anymore?
And that's the funny thing, too, because you asked, I know for sure you really have asked that. And I'm like, really? I don't even think to ask you. Like, why? But again, men are wired different.
Well, I'm curious. I like to know what's down the road around the corner. So brother can get ready. Again, I'm trying to get my mind ready where I won't get there and be like, what the? Somebody lied. Somebody lied.
Put you in a trick bag.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll dig a little deeper in some of these things, but we did say a lot, so let's just go ahead and leave
right.
it at that, marinate on that, and we'll get into some more.
And reply back. If you got a topic you want to hear about, something you want to expand on, hey, feel free to comment, and let's get it cracking because, I mean, this
I know.
Is fun.
We just want to help. Yeah, we just want to help. So anyway, love you. Talk to you next week.
I thank you so much for listening this week. I hope that I've inspired you in some way to make a change for the better. Please be sure to keep in touch, ask questions, or start a dialogue. The easiest way to contact me is on Instagram at Italia Celeste. I have my information for email on there as well as in the show summary here. To help sustain future episodes, please go to anchor.fm/support. Thank you again so much. Be blessed and have an amazing week.